Besides Dr. Thompson, Dr. Deborah Bordley from the University of Toledo took part in the study, as did two of our graduate students who we wanted to acknowledge. First, our interest in health commissioners' public policy and advocacy really came about because something that happened locally. We found out that our county health department had not passed a levy since 1954. That was shocking to us, and we felt that they really needed some help, and our health commissioner, we found, was really not aware of what he could do as far as advocacy and policy. So that's kind of what spurred this study. We started to think, well, maybe other health commissioners don't know or are not doing enough advocacy. So we did this study because of the importance that we saw in advocacy, and of course APHA has a statement about that that's quoted here. And although public health professionals are expected to do advocacy, oftentimes they are unaware of the role or have not had enough education to do so, at least as education specific to advocacy and policy. The subject pool that we used were from the National Association of City and County Health Officers. We accessed their database for our sample. And they as well, on their website, talk about the importance of local health advocacy, and that falls to health commissioners and the role of health commissioners in protecting the health of the public. So our purpose again was to look at what advocacy health commissioners were doing and their level of involvement and their perceived benefits and barriers to doing advocacy. The database contained over 2,800 city and county health officials. We randomized the list and we did a systematic sampling. We set our alpha level at 0.05 and did a power analysis to determine our sample number. The instrument that we used was previously developed by Holtrup, Price, and Bordley. They used the instrument to look at advocacy of health educators, but also of a study was done of nurses' policy and advocacy activities. And the survey was validated previously. It contained 23 items. We looked at demographics and involvement, of course, in public policy in the last 4 years. We did a mail survey. We mailed 700. Of course, some of those didn't get where we hoped they would go. We did everything we could to increase our return rate. We used methods of Summers and Price, also Dillman's total design method to get the best return that we could. Of course, we used SPSS to analyze the data. That's what we typically use at Kent. And took a look at both the descriptive statistics. We also looked at variations in participation and advocacy-related activities. We used a series of chi-square and regression analyses. We ended up with a 50% response rate through our survey research. We found that most of the respondents were women, and 88% Caucasian. The mean age was 52. Some other demographics here. As you can see, most were employed in a county health department. Most were the health commissioner, director, officer, so we did get the target group that we wanted. Most were full-time. Most were Democrats. They identified that political affiliation. And most of our sample was from the Midwest. This is a figure that kind of shocked us in a way. Only 15% of health commissioners reported being very involved in influencing public policy. 25% indicated they were somewhat involved. Mm-hmm. We had listed 14 different public policy or policy-related activities, and on average, they participated in 6.2 of those activities. Mostly, the thing that they engaged in most was voting. They also contacted public officials regarding policy and provided policy information. Very few, however, volunteered for a public official or participated in a demonstration or lobbied in front of a policymaking body. And that's a table just indicating of the activities that they did do. Those that rated themselves high in involvement, of course, that did correlate well with the number of activities they participated in. We also found that men had a higher mean score of involvement in public policy as compared to women. We didn't see any significant difference by race, political affiliation, or employment setting. Each time this study has been done, the biggest barrier, or the studies using this instrument has been done, the biggest barrier was time, time to do policy work. Having other priorities was also a big issue, a lack of money or resources. And the biggest perceived benefit was making a difference in others' lives. We also looked at self-efficacy, efficacy expectations, and outcome expectations. The highest scores included voting in an election, contacting a public official, and providing information for a proposed policy. And the lowest self-efficacy dealt with lobbying a public policy body, working on a campaign, or organizing people for action. They felt the biggest impact was made by voting, followed by organizing people for action. And their perceptions of the value of public policy influencing health, 63% said that the results of public policymakers' actions were important, and 43% felt that public policymakers have great influence on the health and well-being of the public. Rating their knowledge, only 15% of health commissioners rated their knowledge as excellent, 41% good, 26% neutral, 6% rated it poor. 37% stated they were interested in influencing public health policy. 2% said they weren't interested. Sadly, 62% said they had some type of training or information of how to change public policy. Most of it actually was from conference sessions, so I think that's an important finding. Also from professional colleagues and actual on-the-job experience. Sadly, only 19% said college coursework. And this is the rating of personal involvement in public policy. 69% said they hadn't been involved in changing public policy at all. Both as a commissioner, 65%, and 62% said they hadn't even been involved as a citizen, a taxpayer, or a parent. So that was a disturbing finding. Also, most felt they knew someone, at least, who had been involved in public policy, but many of them had not been involved. We looked at benefits and barriers, total confidence, several different factors as far as our regression analysis to see what factors were predictive of policy involvement, and we found four variables were responsible for 50% of the variance: their confidence score, their training, their perceived benefits, and perceived barriers. Okay, so to kind of wind us up and talk about it a little more, although NACHO emphasizes the importance of communicating and advocating for health issues, we said that the commissioner's involvement was moderate, and actually it was very borderline, even to be considered moderate. Because health commissioners are in a unique role to affect public policy, we really need to increase their level of involvement by increasing their knowledge about policymaking, removing barriers, and increasing awareness. And new venues should really be explored to do that. At a minimum, the professional preparation programs for physicians, nurses, public health, environmental health professionals should require these courses in advocacy and policy. And again, only 19% indicated that was their source of information. Also, some other venues or methods of delivery would be peer instruction, workshops, journal articles, and materials developed by professional associations. I know NACHO does webinars, and these web-based courses would be helpful in terms of developing some for advocacy and policy issues, and providing more sessions on that at their conferences, since conferences was the place where many people got their education. We have some recommendations for future research. I know I'm about out of time. We did have some limitations to the study, just those who were in the NACHO database. We did use a random sample, but might have wanted to use a stratified random sample, since some states have hundreds of health commissioners and other states have only one. We also had forced response, not really a place to get any qualitative research. Well, how about that? Time's up. Questions, I think we're going to take those all at the end.
Thank you.
Okay, next we have Susan Radius from Towson University.